I want to apologize if my voice acting weird. I think I have an allergy, and I'm finally talked into it by somebody I know to have it checked. Anyway, this is Reformation Sunday, and a very special time within Protestant Christianity. But at the same time, it's also one that's marked in the Roman Catholic Church, because someone said recently in a radio program that the Pope's acting more like Martin Luther than the Pope. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but it might be, because change is the basic thing that we're talking about when we look at the church, and change within the Roman Catholic Church, change within the Presbyterian Church. There's no church in this community that's not affected by change. Change. And I'm sure many of you have never gone through a change in your life. Have you? I was thinking about this when I read this scripture, and I wondered if I had been alive at the time when Christ presenting himself, if I would have been one who stood in awe when he said something, and I could feel that God was certainly there, that he was indeed the Messiah. Or was I on the other side, just indifferent and kind of angry, like the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Zealots, that he was just making a mockery of faith? He was changing too many things. He didn't have a good mind. He was rattling around someplace. After all, he had dinner with sinners. He healed sinners. And he met with people that were not liked all the way around the community. And here was this man talking about, of all things, God's greater witness in life. I wonder if I would have seen in him that, maybe that sign that Peter, that the other disciples felt and saw and shared when they walked around. And I thought to myself, what would I have been? What would I be? And it's a good question for each one of you. What would you have been like in meeting Christ person to person, hearing him, seeing him in action, and wondering what in the world is going on? This is radical stuff that this guy from Nazareth was doing. This was radical, no matter how you figure it, because he wasn't playing by the rule book. Now, that's something to think about in terms of your own faith, in terms of your own life. Open your Bibles to Matthew. Or as I'm learning to say, open your tablets and your iPhone and check your app to see if you've got Scripture. We're looking at the 22nd chapter, verses 34 through 46. And you'll see in your Bibles that this is called the greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Oh, I'll bet they got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. And then David calls him Lord. How can he be your son? Well, no one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared ask him any more questions. We learned last week that the more you question Christ, he'll throw it right back at you and cause more confusion in your mind. And in this case, this was the leaders of the temple and the synagogue that he threw it back to. I would imagine when Jesus uttered two new approaches to the commandments, namely, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and on top of that, to love your neighbor as yourself. Whew. I'll bet the Pharisees saw red. They didn't like this. They didn't like it. Because the mystery of our gospel, and maybe the paradox of being a Christian, is tremendous. The Trinity, you see, how God is in three and still single bothers people even today. But Jesus reveals how God's fall and unconditional love is here to save the world. The greatest of these is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as you love you. Jesus makes the fullness of God present to us in this scripture. But even then, later on, Paul wrote to the Colossians by writing, "For in Christ the fullness of God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or on heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross." In other words, everything that Christ said came to pass even later, and it sunk in, at least to the mind of Paul, who'd been a good Pharisee, by the way. And while the Pharisees in this story were close-minded to Christ, we've all our life been exposed and nurtured in Christ. Every single one of you here this morning has been nurtured in Jesus Christ. And those who aren't here were nurtured in Jesus Christ. And those who were thinking about going to church were nurtured in Jesus Christ. But they weren't sure, you see. They weren't sure. They were like the Pharisees. It only goes so far. So far. And then I've got to make a commitment. And I'm not ready to make a commitment. Someone told me that this week. I'm not ready to make a commitment to the church. What about Jesus? Well, that's another matter. No. It's not. In God's redemption of us in Jesus Christ, we've been given our marching orders and our commissioning. We have been. We've been given it without a doubt at all to be his representatives in the world. And when you make that commitment, you're making a commitment that goes beyond the church walls. You're making a commitment that goes everywhere that you walk and talk, to everybody that you affect. We live in Christ. Christ lives in us. That's what he's talking about when he says, "Lord, Lord," about David, which confused the Pharisees to no end. We nurture this union every single time we take communion at this table. Every single time. That's a recommitment that we make to Jesus Christ. And we do it without... what? Thinking. Thinking. Christ works His grace in us as we mature, as we grow in love and grace. And here we see our purpose to truly be the body of Christ. When we go into our day-to-day lives as the body of Christ and we seek to faithfully minister to His redeeming presence wherever we go, whatever we do, I see then that we release Him to be in our relationships with all kinds of people, not in a judgmental sort of way. We can't do that. I heard some joker on the radio. Talking about Jesus. Jesus would disown the United States because we are committing all kinds of sin. I think He'd condemn the whole world for making all kinds of sin, for heaven's sake. We're struggling to make the Christ witness alive and well in changing times, far different than the Bible ever experienced, but yet experienced in a different way. And the living Christ, the Spirit, that's the Spirit of change and welcome. Paul put it this way to the Corinthian Christians, think in this way. Think in this way. As servants of Christ, and you are stewards of God's mysteries. We are the body of Christ. You know the interesting aspect that we have about the Reformation. Poor old Martin was all burnt up about the way the church was acting. Too much control, too much sidebar calisthenics to get money, too much intimidation to people coming on a Sabbath. And Jesus said, no, there's a better way. And there's two commandments that all you need to do is practice them and believe them and act on them. The people got excited about it, but then remember, the Reformation was strictly political. It was strictly political. Not just Martin, but also it was the same way with John Calvin. It was the same way with Zwingli. It was the same way with all of the early church fathers. It was all political. Up to a point. But they all stressed the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That should change you. That should change you. But more importantly, what you're going to lay on to that is to love your neighbor, all kinds of neighbors, all kinds, all colors, all creeds, as you love yourself. Hard? You bet. Difficult, unimaginable. Is it possible? Yes. Yes, it is. God, we're grateful that You've made us a servant people. We wish sometimes that we act according to what You want us to do and be in the Spirit of Christ, and yet sometimes we fall short. We know it. You forgive us. But help us not to take it for granted, because You're still calling us to be and do and become Your witnesses to this world. Amen.